At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Big East Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, here we go on this Saturday morning, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. Many different ways to connect with you online, live on Twitter, at eRadio Sports. We love to get feedback from our audience across the country. You can email the show, info@eradiosports.com, and twice is nice, podcastarena.com. Take us anywhere, anytime, 24/7. Download our app, and you can listen to all of our amazing hosts here at our network at Sports Map Radio. My amazing producer is Jack McCraw, and it's been a while since we kicked off the program, and we were talking about our Dallas Cowboys. And don't look now, but Washington, they have won four straight, and they've got the pedal down. They're keeping pressure on Dallas in the NFC East. Jack, how concerned should Dak and the Cowboys be?
I think they should have a pretty good concern for the Washington football teams. Like, as you mentioned, they've won four in a row, and they've beaten teams like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and last Sunday they beat the Las Vegas Raiders on a last-minute field goal in Allegiant Stadium. This team is getting hot at the right time, and they're doing this without their best defensive player in Chase Young. Last year, the football team won the division with a 7-9 record and played the Buccaneers pretty well in the first round of the playoffs. I think the Cowboys should be genuinely concerned, considering the fact that they play Washington two of the next 3 weeks. It'll be a real measuring stick game in the division for the Dallas Cowboys.
You're exactly right. Washington does play the Cowboys twice in the next 3 weeks. So can Washington, can they catch Dallas?
It's certainly a possibility, Alyssa. And the Cowboys schedule going forward, Washington twice, like we mentioned. They also play the Cardinals, the Giants, and the Eagles, so it doesn't really get very easier for the Cowboys, considering the Eagles are on the rise as well. And the Cardinals, of course, look like one of the best teams in the NFC. I would say there's no gimme games going forward for the Dallas Cowboys, so it is not out of the realm of possibilities for the football team to catch the Cowboys and potentially have that division in their hands once again.
What are some of the marquee games you got your eye on Sunday night?
I got to look at the Buffalo Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after a real stinker performance on Monday Night Football.
What happened?
I mean, we can't really blame the weather. It's Buffalo. Tampa Bay looks like they're riding the ship and they're getting better, but Buffalo looks like a free-falling team. I think Bill Belichick is still in their head all these years later.
Do you think they can still win the AFC East?
It's going to be a lot harder now that the Patriots are firing on all cylinders. I would say probably not. I think the Patriots are going to win that division.
Good stuff. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1 at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back on this Saturday morning, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell, and you know what? The holidays are here, and it's a perfect time to show just how much you care. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the perfect holiday gift guide and something for everyone on your list at prices under just $15, like a pair of Mechanics Wear black-coated winter gloves, a Power Torque two-piece magnetic tool holder bar, a Slime Digital tire gauge, and so much more. Check out the holiday gift guide for great ideas at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. O'Reilly.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Well, here we go. The college football conversation, it's going to continue. And in our next segment, we are headed to Norman, Oklahoma to discuss the hiring of longtime Clemson defensive coordinator Brent Venables as Oklahoma's new head football coach. We're so delighted to have back with us our source for Sooner Sports, and that is legendary radio host with CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City, James Hale. And James, you nailed it last week on the program. You said Brent Venables, he was the leader in the clubhouse, and he is now Oklahoma's head coach. You were at the press conference. Give us your takeaways.
Well, you know, hey, first of all, man, I hope you're having a great Saturday, and hope you have a great, great Christmas, and hope your family's rocking. And I know with you as the queen of the family that they're certainly doing well. So,
thank you.
I thought it was interesting that Joe Castiglione, the great athletic director of the Sooners, said that his first call was to Brent Venables, and that he said he had to go through the process. But that tells you right there, he knew the one guy he needed to hire was Brent Venables. And so whatever process that he had to go through, it took 7 days, and it drove everybody nuts. And I don't know how many times, if I have a nickel for every time somebody said, why did it take so long? If you knew it was going to be Brent Venables, why didn't you just hire Brent Venables? Well, you know, because this is big-time college football, and you have to go through a process. Considering what happened to them with Lincoln Riley walking out on the program, which I never thought would happen, that a coach at the University of Oklahoma would go to another collegiate program. And there it happened, and it happened at Notre Dame, too, with Brian Kelly. So, you know, you have it with Mario Cristobal at Oregon. Even though I don't look at Oregon as a blue blood program, I think that Notre Dame and Oklahoma certainly are. So it just shows you everybody can, it can happen to everybody. And when that happened, I haven't seen this much depression around a program in a long time. It was like for 6 days we were the Walking Dead or something, you know, and everybody's walking around and everybody's mad, everybody's depressed, and Lincoln Riley is public enemy number one, and, you know, and all this was going on. And in the meantime, here's Joe C. quietly going about his business in stealth mode, you know, really trying to vet everything, and everything kept pointing back to Brent Venables. Now, remember, Joe likes hiring high assistants, promising assistants to head coaching positions. He does this in a lot of different sports. He hit a home run, obviously, with Bob Stoops, who was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame last night. So Bob's career is, you know, we don't, you know, it's, hey, you know what it is. Mm-hmm. We don't need to keep talking about it. It's great. And what he's doing for Oklahoma, he's going to coach Oklahoma against Oregon in the Alamo Bowl, and I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, but, you know, obviously Brent Venables is like another Stoops. He's the youngest brother of the group, and they've just adopted him and made him one, and he's been with them so long, and it's like another son for Bob. And so when Bob told Joe Castiglione, you can't find a better guy than Brent Venables, considering what was going down, it's the perfect guy to come back after what happened with Lincoln Riley. Because, oh, you had all that depression, and you're wondering about your program, and you're wondering, and it's hurting the program every day. A player's leaving, a recruit's decommitting. All this is going on. Here comes the favorite son, because everybody likes Brent. Everybody loves Brent. And Brent was the linebacking coach and the defensive coordinator at OU. OU played some of the best defense in college football history. He goes to Clemson, wins two more national titles. He won one at OU. Clemson has been one of the great defenses in college football since Brent has taken over as the defensive coordinator. And OU needed this guy to come in that comes in and loves every single thing about OU. Oh, there's some things he wants done within the program, and he knows they're going to the SEC, and so he knows that they've got to upgrade in certain things. But the nuts, the bones of the program he loves. He knows it's a blue blood program. Throughout his life, he's told me that he didn't want to be a head coach. He was perfectly comfy as the defensive coordinator. He was making $2.5 million a year.
Wow.
He's from Salina, Kansas. Mm-hmm. He said he and Julie never dreamed they would make this kind of money. He said he didn't have the headaches as a head coach, and he was perfectly fine. But he said there's one job that if it comes open and they want me, I'm going to take it, and that's Oklahoma. And he said there's probably another. If Dabo Sweeney is head coach at Clemson, he said, if Dabo retires or moves on, I would look at Clemson. So there became two jobs. But when the Oklahoma job came open, he had been in line with some other jobs before. It was the Oklahoma job that really piqued his interest, that when Joe called him, he said, if you offer, I'll take it. He said something really interesting yesterday, or Monday during the press conference. And he said, you know, I was just scared. Now, how many coaches admit they're scared to take a job like this? Nobody. I don't hear that very often. He goes, I was scared. He goes, I didn't want to screw up happy. He goes, we're happy. He goes, my wife is happy. My two boys are happy. My two girls are happy. He goes, but then, about a month earlier, I had turned down a job last year that my family kind of thought I should have taken. And I guess that was at Auburn. And he goes, and my young daughter, I'm laying down, we're reading the Bible, we're saying our prayers. And out of nowhere, she goes, I want to pray for you, Daddy. And he goes, what do you want to pray for me for? I'm good. Everything's good. And she goes, no, I want to pray for you that you get courage enough to follow your dreams. You're always telling me to follow my dreams, and I want to pray for you that you have courage enough to follow your dreams. Now, OU's job wasn't open at that time, but he was touched by that, and he hadn't forgot about that, and he said something about that during his introduction on Monday. So it's considering what's going down with OU, it's the perfect hire. OU has not been a physical team under Lincoln Riley, and that's not Lincoln's M.O. Lincoln's M.O. is slick offensive play calls, formations, quarterback play. He always talked about physicality, and at times OU ran the ball really well. But on defense, they've never been a real blowback, I'm going to knock your head off type defense. Well, with Brent at OU, there have been times. Clemson certainly has been that, and physicality will be just what they want. But it's the loyalty, too, that Brent Venables brings to the program. Everybody looks at Lincoln Riley now, whether this is right, wrong, or indifferent, as a traitor, a guy that walked out on the program. Here comes a blue blood and Brent Venables to a blue blood program that's a blue blood Sooner. When he bleeds, it's crimson and cream, and it always has been, even though he's been at Clemson, and it's exactly what OU needed and wanted. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
He is host of Total Sports, CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. James Hale with us this morning at Sports Map Radio. So what insight can you provide on why Brent Venables' defenses at Clemson consistently ranked near the top nationally in almost every statistical category? I mean, and you had mentioned, I mean, he was rewarded as the highest paid assistant coach in college football, making $2.5 a year. I mean, what is Brent Venables' secret sauce?
He's got a fundamentally sound defense that he's run that was built by the Stoops brothers at Oklahoma, but he got better at Clemson. He adapted to what was going on in college football today. He's talked about how offenses today are up-tempo. They force you into keeping with your same defensive personnel on the field. They don't let you adjust. And he said, so your fundamentally sound defense, whatever that is, has to be fundamentally sound, it has to be on point, and you have to have flexibility enough with players that they don't need to come out of the game. He goes, if I got my starting unit out there and they're running plays every 12 seconds, my starting unit has to be flexible enough and good enough that they can play on first down and also on third and 12. I can't take out and bring in pass coverage defensive personnel because I don't have time. And he said, so that's one of the keys. Physicality is the other. He said that it starts in the defensive line. He says at Oklahoma, we've got to recruit the best defensive linemen in the country. He goes, I want them long. I want them lean. I want to build them up. And he goes, we have to develop them. He goes, but that's the key to your defense. If you're great in the defensive line, he said you have a chance to be great everywhere. And he says he wants to be an aggressive defense. He wants to be a suffocating defense. And when he said that, of course, you know, there was a large roar because even though Lincoln Riley's defenses got better under Alex Grinch, they regressed last year and they never reached the pinnacle that they hoped to reach. Well, Brent's not going to take no for an answer. They're going to reach it or he's going to die trying. I mean, he's going to do everything he can to build this defense and make it work on defense. And the secret sauce really is just determination, just aggressiveness, just recruiting, and he has come up with a defensive system at Clemson. It's a three-man front with a rush end, and sometimes that rush end backs off. I mean, it's similar to what Oklahoma does now, and it's similar to what OU did back in the day under Bob Stoops, but there's other things under it. But I think it's passion, recruiting, determination, developing players. I think that's the secret sauce.
Hey, we are talking Oklahoma football. James Hale, host of Total Sports, CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. You can also subscribe to his daily podcast on Patreon. Why don't you connect with our audience, James? Where can they go to subscribe?
You know, all you got to do is Google James Hale, a diehard Sooner report. And, you know, and again, we're putting 3 to 5 podcasts up a day. You know, they've been a little longer recently. There's been a lot to talk about. They've been a little bit longer. But, yeah, it's Die Hard Sooner Report, Patreon, James Hale, Die Hard Sooner Report. And I think you'll like it if you're a Sooner fan or college football fan.
The College Football Conversation continues with James Hale from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The College Football Conversation continues with James Hale from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. Okay, Oklahoma's new head coach, Brent Venables, I've been watching a lot online. I mean, he has hit the ground running. He's been making a lot of visits with recruits. And so how does he go about closing the gap after such a devastating blow that impacted Oklahoma's recruiting classes?
The only way he can do it is just to roll up his sleeves and go to work. You know, recruiting is an interesting thing. I mean, Gabriel Granlow Dindy, the prize defensive tackle out of Lakeland, Florida, decommitted without even talking to Brent. And Brent was supposed to go and see him Friday. Jimbo Fisher and his fine staff came in and convinced him to decommit, commit to them. I don't know if OU's even going to get an audience with him. And this is what you're dealing with in recruiting today. I mean, Gabriel's not doing anything wrong. He didn't know who the defensive coordinator is going to be. He doesn't know who the defensive line coach is going to be. He knows who it's going to be at Texas A&M. And the other programs are not going to stop recruiting their guys just because OU's in a little bit of a pickle. So, you know, what? All he can do is roll up his sleeves and keep recruiting. He's got to uncover some other guys. He made his first offer the other day for a young man out of Cardinal Gibbons in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, defensive tackle, 3-star guy. But it's a guy that Brent liked at Clemson, and he's offered him. The only thing he can do, he and his staff, they're trying to close down the commits now. They don't want anybody else to decommit. And I think most of the guys, Xavier Bryce out of Arlington Seguin High School, is going to visit Texas on Saturday. But OU is going to be in his home either today or tomorrow. Maybe they can convince him to go ahead and stay with OU and not do that. So we'll see. But that's how he can close the gap in the recruiting deal. Oklahoma's not far off when it comes to players on the field. OU had a really good team this year, not a great team. They didn't win a Big 12 championship, but they went 10-2. And when you can win 10 games, that's a pretty good football team. They've lost a few guys. You know, Perrion Winfrey has announced that he's not going to play in the bowl game. He's going pro. Same thing for Nick Benito. You've had Theo Weiss, Jaden Hazelwood, Spencer Rattler. They've all entered the transfer portal. Bray Walker has entered the transfer portal. He's a backup offensive lineman. Bray is not doing that because he doesn't want to be at OU. He's trying to find a place to play. But all they can do is roll up their sleeves and go to work, especially on the recruiting trail. They have different contacts. It's a new staff. Some of the holdover staff, and Bill Beedenbow, Cale Gundy, DeMarco Murray, Joe John Finley, all those guys are on the offensive side of the ball. They have guys they've been recruiting, and Brent's kind of working off that, but he has a list that he had at Clemson in his areas and things that he's working off of. And all they can do is roll up their sleeves and go to work and see if they can make this happen.
Host of Total Sports, CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City, James Hale with us. So, James, what has it been like for you personally over the past week? It was interesting listening to the athletic director at Oklahoma, Joe Castiglione, and he was talking about that, you know what, sleep's overrated. I mean, do you agree with him?
Well, yeah, it is, but I don't think it's overrated. I think we need it. Get up to my age, and so, you know, you just don't get it sometimes, and so that's the way it goes. You know, I cover this program. You cannot cover a program in a beat form like I do and not care for the program.
Yeah.
I think I'm still a journalist. I know I am. I still say things. I make coaches at OU angry at me sometimes because they don't like what I'm saying. But sometimes you got to write what you think is the truth or broadcast what you think is the truth. But, you know, I've got 2 degrees from OU, close to getting 3. My son has the same. My granddaughter's already want to go here. My grandson he's not quite into college thinking about it yet, but we're talking to him, so we'll, you know. But, I mean, my point is we love this university.
Yeah.
And we love OU. I've got degrees on my wall from this school, so I don't want anything happen to it. And normally it doesn't. OU has one of the great athletic programs in the country. I'm blessed to cover it. But when this happened to the football program, and I like Lincoln Riley. You know, I didn't. Nobody really knows Lincoln Riley, and none of us really got to know him here. And, you know, he was great when I had a chance to talk to him. He was great when he dealt with the media. He was Switzer-esque. But whatever's driving him behind the scenes, we're beginning to see it's beginning to be unveiled, and it's not really pretty. And what he did to OU, how badly he hurt OU, it sucked. I mean, it's just devastating what he's done to this program. Now, Brent Venables is such a strong guy and such a determined guy, and he's always looking ahead. He's always looking at his situation, figuring out how to fix the situation, and he's not worried about what happened in the past. And I know he'll dive in. I just hope it's not going to set the program back for a year or two. I don't know if it will. I think in the 2022 class, they're still going to have a pretty good class, but it's not going to be a great one. You know, you hope that the 23 class, they're starting over. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. You know, Brent said something interesting about recruiting, too, which I haven't heard a coach talk about in a long time.
Right.
He said the scholarship matters. He goes, it's a $120,000 scholarship these players are getting, and nobody wants to talk about it. It's like it's a bad thing. And he goes, well, when we offer a guy, we mean it. And we're not just going to offer everybody. We're not going to go to these super camps where there's 700 guys and hang out with 30 other coaches. No, he goes, you ever wonder why there's no Rolls-Royce commercials? And that hit me. I was going, let me see. I remember that commercial. You know. So anyway, he goes, you don't see them because they don't need to. Either you can afford the Rolls and you know how to get a hold of them, or you don't. He goes, well, this is not an affordability thing, but if we offer you, we obviously think you're an elite player. We don't care what your ranking is. We think you're an elite player, and we want you to come. Well, you know, this is going to be interesting to watch. I think he's going to try to take this program to the next level, maintain it where it is, take it to the next level, whether constantly in the college football playoff and playing for championships, but he's doing it the old-fashioned way. It's going to be brick by brick by brick. He said, I've got to recruit the guys currently on the roster, and that includes Caleb Williams, who I think is staying. Caleb hasn't said anything about it. And he said, I've got to do that. He goes, I've got a million things I've got to do early. But he goes, hey, that, you know, I think he agreed with Joe Castiglione. And, he said, I can fall asleep really easy. He goes, I have no problem sleeping except now that I have this job. He goes, Julie and I get up at 4 o'clock, and it's usually just talking about this job. And, you know, so he's ready to go. And, I think he's going to take such a hands-on approach. Mm-hmm. He's going to make it better brick by brick.
Brent Venables will help usher in a new era for Oklahoma football and the Sooners as they are set to move into the SEC. James, give us the pulse. I mean, how soon could this happen?
Well, it's not going to happen next year. They've already come out with a schedule. I've been thinking it's going to happen in 2023 when the Big 12 adds 4 teams. Now, I think OU and Texas both feel like when those 4 teams come in that, you know, the penalty is going to be cut in half by that time, the penalty to leave, which was $80 million. And they feel like they will be able to negotiate at that time with the Big 12 to be able to get out. Or, you know, somebody will just pay the $40 million and they'll take off and go. So, I really think 2023 at the earliest. OU continues to say it's probably 2025. I don't think it's going to be. The seismic shift really starts in 23 when those 4 teams come into the Big 12 and the SEC would like to get going with Oklahoma and Texas in their conference. And so I think things will be worked out in 2023.
Good stuff. James Hale, host of Total Sports, CBS Sports Radio Network. One more time, connect with our audience and where they can go to subscribe to Die Hard Sooner Reports.
Just Google James Hale, Die Hard Sooner Report. It's a Patreon account. A small donation is asked for. It can be as low as $5 a month, and you can make it $37 million if you want to a month too. So you can do that if you want to.
You sound like a TV preacher, James.
Yeah, you got to. You know what I mean? So, but it's Die Hard Sooner Report by James Hale, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Thank you so much, my friend. Great stuff and information on our program this morning. You have a great weekend. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. Love to engage our audience. Many different platforms and ways. At eRadio Sports, you can email the show. info@eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. And the holidays are the perfect time to show just how much you care, and perhaps you're looking for some gift ideas. The Holiday Gift Guide has something for everyone on your list at prices under $15, like a Mechanics Wear black-coated winter gloves, a Power Torque two-piece magnet tool holder bar, and a Slime Digital tire gauge, and so much more. Check out the Holiday Gift Guide for great ideas at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. You bet. It is week 14 of the NFL season. The conversation is going to continue, and we are so delighted to have with us for the very first time, veteran NFL writer, author. You can also listen to him on Sirius XM NFL Radio, and that is Vic Carucci. Has a new book he just teamed up with the great Bill Polian. The title of the book is Super Bowl Blueprints. Hall of Famers reveal the keys to football's greatest dynasties. Welcome to our network. It's nice to have you on the show this morning on a Saturday.
It is wonderful to be with you, Alyssa.
Well, before we take a deep dive into the book, let's talk about the Buffalo Bills and some of your takeaways from that 14-10 loss to the Patriots. What did we learn?
I think we learned a lot. I think, first of all, from a Buffalo perspective, Bills, this was the game that I thought would offer the most evidence of what kind of team they were. The identity question, we always talk about that in sports, and I think especially in football. What's their identity? Well, it had been in 2020, and what folks were assuming it was in 2021 was this explosive offense that could, put up 30-plus points without – without trying, but pretty routinely, and win games either in blowout fashion or just outscore the opponent with, again, an explosive passing game, Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs, and who was going to cover anybody. They looked uncoverable. Everybody would run these patterns on short, medium, long, and you just didn't have the answer defensively. That's changed dramatically this year. Teams have clamped down, as often happens, but the key was that the Bills had returned pretty much everybody from this 2020 13-3 team that got within a game of the Super Bowl. And that's been the, I think, part of the issue is there was consternation, disappointment, not just those of us on the outside saying, what the heck, but it's the Bills themselves that I think began and have been questioning themselves. So when the Patriots started slow and the division still looked like Buffalo's to win, even after a couple of, like, the Jacksonville game, really, they lose that one. Indy beats them up, but they rebounded so strong and they had that, the big Thanksgiving night performance. I think there was people taking solace in that, but always knowing, look, the proof now with New England on this run, they won 7 in a row, but New England looking like the old New England and maybe finding the new answer at quarterback or finding the new answer in Mac Jones, that, okay, this is different, but we're going to find out about the Bills. And honestly, what happened Monday night was there were a lot of reasons why Buffalo didn't win that game. At the top of the list, people think it's their inability to stop the run. That was a factor, but honestly, when you give up 14 points defensively, you have some reason to at least feel somewhat okay. on a night that was definitely not for passing and maybe not even for playing football. It was insane out there, the winds, the crazy winds. But it was also a game where strategically, and I take umbrage with, I thought, you know, Sean McDermott has done a lot of right things. I thought one of the one thing he should want to have that is his post-game comment about not wanting to give Bill Belichick too much credit. First of all, why even call out the coach of the other team? Usually not Sean's style, but the frustration was there, and it was because that was a brilliant scheme. You take the ball out of the hands of the hands-down favorite to become Offensive Rookie of the Year of the NFL, Mac Jones, and you say, guys, we're going to dare you to stop our running game, and they couldn't, and it controlled the clock. It kept Buffalo's offense off the field. Ultimately, it came down to you make a mistake. You know, Patriots had a mistake, but you make a mistake. You don't fire on all cylinders offensively. We're going to beat you, and that's what happened.
SiriusXM NFL Radio. Vic Carucci is our very special guest at SportsMap Radio Network, radio host, member of the selection committee for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. His new book that is out, co-written, Super Bowl Blueprints, Hall of Famers Reveal the Keys to Football's Greatest Dynasty, teamed up with the great Bill Polian. We're going to talk about that, but right now our focus is on the Bills. And so they stand at 7-5, and I just have to wonder, we were talking about this to kick off the program this morning, is, you know, what are your expectations now for this team? I mean, and where are they losing games at? Is that the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, honestly, the physical games are a problem. And the simplistic answer is that they're built, especially defensively, to defend the pass. And they do that well. They were built from the back to front when Sean McDermott took over in 2017. His first two free agent acquisitions were the stamp that he put on this team, and those were the safeties, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, who team up so well for them in the back end, and actually are more coverage safeties than run support safeties. And his first big draft pick, you know, of course, they traded down from the 10 spot. Kansas City traded up to get a guy named Patrick Mahomes, but Buffalo traded down to 27th to get a guy named Tre'Davious White, who's been outstanding as a corner. Obviously out for the season now with that knee injury is a sad blow to the Bills, but I still think they're a team that can handle itself pretty well against the pass, which opponents know, which Bill Belichick knows, but what he also saw was how they got trampled by the Colts and Jonathan Taylor, how they got trampled by the Titans earlier with Derrick Henry before his season-ending injury or his severe injury, and even Jacksonville had some success there. Pounding the football, playing the stall game, if you will, the run out the clock game, and keep that offense off the field. Now, the other issue is they're not making those plays consistently through the air. Even though they came into the New England game, they had an average of almost 30 points a game. They were second in the league, which is where they finished last year in scoring. But it's deceiving, Alyssa. They're not making those consistent game-breaking plays. They're not scaring opponents the way they did with that pass carrying, giving that constant threat. And frankly, when you look at their 7-5 record now, you know, they've five losses all against, except for Jacksonville, all against, you know, winning good, pretty solid teams. Mm-hmm. Kansas City had a losing record at the time, but we've seen what they've done. And the seven wins, I mean, they beat up on Miami twice. They beat Houston. They beat the Jets. I mean, you go down the list, and it's not a highly impressive list of wins. Washington looks a lot more impressive now than it did before. But, yeah, so that's what they are.
SiriusXM NFL Radio, Vic Carucci, our special guest, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, author of 11 books. His latest release, Super Bowl Blueprints, Hall of Famers Reveal the Keys to Football's Greatest Dynasties. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. Let's focus our attention now on the Patriots. You just mentioned it. They have won seven straight. And I just, help us understand, I mean, why do you think Mac Jones has been the perfect fit for Bill Belichick's system?
Well, I think we found that out Monday night in this sense. I'm not going to pretend to have climbed into his head and know exactly what he's thinking or feeling. But the gist I have, and I think most of us throughout the country have, is that he was fine with a game plan that basically made him a bystander. I mean, you know, I honestly, to ask that quarterback who was getting so much love and attention for helping that team win six games in a row up to that point, and then to tell him, you're just going to hand off tonight. That's your job. And he threw, you know, he completed two passes, or excuse me, yeah, he had the two completions. He had three passes, one completion, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And the second attempt didn't come until there were under 7 minutes left in the game. So the ego of a quarterback, you think about that. And he said it, I think he used that term, it takes a village. I love that description of what he was a part of. But here's a guy, Alabama, you know, played in the SEC, comes in with all the fanfare, and actually handles it in a mature, it tells you so much about the guy. What I make of him in terms of football, his contribution, is he's also a system quarterback, which is what Tom Brady was in his early days there before he got entrusted. And I don't think they're putting necessarily, you know, handcuffs on him, or training wheels is probably a better way to put it. Tough to throw with handcuffs, I think. But training wheels,
yeah.
Probably tough to throw there too. But training wheels, he's not that. It's not that rudimentary and fundamental. But it is enough to keep him within, in other words, you run the football well, and then you throw off of that. Whereas, let's use Buffalo as an example, their offense is entirely throw first, try to run off of that, and they're not having great success. But New England was 12th in the league in rushing entering that Buffalo game.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't their whole offense, but this kid works his way off of that, and you can see how it puts him in a higher percentage.
It is week 14 of the NFL season. Our conversation is going to continue with Vic Carucci from SiriusXM NFL Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Our one Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, our NFL news and notes, continues with Vic Carucci from SiriusXM NFL Radio. He is a co-host on SiriusXM NFL Radio and a contributor to WGRZ-TV in Buffalo, the author of 10 previous books, his latest release making it number 11, Super Bowl Blueprints, Hall of Famers Reveal the Keys to Football's Greatest Dynasties. And you teamed up with the great Bill Polian. What was it like to work with him on this very special project? Is this your favorite book out of all of them?
I don't want to ever choose between that. The books become kind of like your children. Not, you know, it's a real reach of a comparison, but you know, but I have to say it's hard not to see this one as the favorite. It's the biggest, longest of all of them I wrote, in the sense of number volume. It's over 400 pages of book and 150 or so thousand words. But that's not what it's about. It's what's in there, the content. We interviewed, so Bill and I worked on a book. This is our second book together. In 2014, we released a book called The Game Plan, and that was Bill's, it was Bill's voice all the way through, talking about how to put together teams, from, you know, what goes into the thinking behind personnel acquisition, hiring coaches, putting a whole staff, you know, putting the whole organization together. And he actually referred to notes from the operational manuals that he put together in his Hall of Fame career as a GM and president with Buffalo, with Carolina, and then, of course, with the Colts. This book, and this was Bill's idea, was to pursue the iconic teams in the eras of the 70s through the early 2000s. We did not attempt to take on a each team getting a chapter, right? Raiders, Steelers, Giants, you know, Washington, so forth. But we didn't attempt to take on the Patriots, an obvious iconic club, because number one, their head coach is still it's a dynasty still in progress, and two, the quarterback, who is the biggest part of that, is also a dynasty in progress. And we also felt that giving it one chapter when there's been a volume of books written about the past, and there will be more, I'm sure, would just be kind of silly. So we acknowledge that. Bill talks about that in the introduction. But what we did was interview 32 mostly Hall of Fame people, team owners, from team owners to coach to executives, coaches, and players, mostly of the former variety. And you, in the voice, and we constructed each chapter with those voices in oral history form. So Bill is the lead-in voice to each chapter. He sets the table, and then we weave in the other voices. So, for instance, in the 49ers section, which is the West Coast offense, you hear, of course, from Mike Holmgren, who was the offensive coordinator there. We have audio that we got from Bill Walsh interviews that we incorporated, mm-hmm. that were done, you know, on a lengthy radio interviews, and we found that transcript and included that. Steve Young, we spoke with him, and so on and so forth. And it's been, it, Charles Haley's in there. I mean, Charles Haley's uh-huh. also in the Dallas chapter. Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson, there's Terry Bradshaw. We got Mean Joe Green and Mel Blunt. The list goes on and on. Bill Parcells, and they all gave us, I would say the shortest interview we did was maybe 90 minutes. We easily went over like 2.5 hours with Jerry, who we did, and most of these were by Zoom. Jerry Zoomed us from his yacht.
It is titled Super Bowl Blueprints. We are way over on our time. Hall of Famers reveal the keys to football's greatest dynasty. It tells the story of championship football, how it's attained, and what it takes. What a true pleasure to have with us on our program for the very first time. We're going to have him back for sure. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.